Hello, and welcome to the teaching ministry of Faith Word Fellowship, where faith in the Word leads to a more intimate fellowship with God. We're excited to bring you this teaching of Mark Roberson, pastor of Faith Word Fellowship, where we're building people of vision, people of valor, and people of victory. Now let's join Pastor Mark as he delivers this week's teaching.
Glory to God. I introduced this teaching series that I entitled Tapping into the Power That Brings the World to Its Knees. Tapping into the Power That Brings the World to Its Knees. Now, my purpose in those first three sessions as I taught this lesson was to show you how to develop happiness in believing God, so that you can operate in the revelation that 1 John 5:4 reveals to us. Glory to God. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer right now. Father, thank you for your word. Open our eyes that we may see it. Open our ears that we may hear it. Open our hearts that we may receive it. Give us a breakthrough perspective for what you're doing in us right now, for what you're causing to come upon us right now, what you're making happen through us right now, and all that you're summoning forth to us in Jesus' name, we give you praise for it. Come, Holy Spirit, and teach us today. We welcome you in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 John chapter 5, verse 4, it says this from the King James Bible. Glory to God. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. We're talking about tapping into the power that brings the world to its knees. First and foremost, dear hearts, you're going to have to make up in your mind that you are who the Bible says you are, regardless of how you feel today, regardless of how you feel tomorrow, regardless of how you feel next week. Your feelings have nothing to do with the definition of your life. And your circumstances have nothing to do with the position of your life, Jesus. So since the Bible says that whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, I have to make up in my mind that's me. See, you got to learn to find yourself in the scriptures, Jesus. Glory to God. Jesus found himself in the scriptures. Luke 4, verse 18, he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He wasn't just reading the scroll. He was living what he read. You got to find yourself in the scripture. In Matthew 13, I believe it is, remember when Jesus asked his disciples, who do men say that I am? The disciples start giving them what the rumor mill was of that day. Some say you're Jeremiah. Some say you're this prophet. Some say you're that prophet. You're this one resurrected. See, the rumor of reincarnation was rampant at that time. So they started naming all of these people. So Jesus got personal. But who do you say that I am? You got to find yourself in the scriptures. Peter called a revelation. He caught something that his head didn't understand. His background couldn't identify with. His education was not aware of it. And he said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, flesh and blood did not reveal this unto you, Simon Bar-Jonah. But my Father who is in heaven revealed this unto you. That's what happens when you find yourself in the scripture. You're positioning yourself for God the Father to download a revelatory truth to your life to where you will never be the same again. That's why I always tell you, all you need is one word from God and you will never be the same again. The problem with a lot of Christians is they approach the Bible from a religious perspective and not from a revelation pursuit. They're not trying to receive revelation, because wherever there's revelation, put this down in your notes, wherever there's revelation, there's transformation. Wherever there's revelation, there's transformation. There is no way you can go back to how you used to be once you catch a revelation from the Holy Ghost. The only reason why you're going back, you don't have a revelation. Oh, you got information. You don't have a revelation. Because when you catch a revelation, no devil from hell can beat it out of you with a baseball bat. Jesus, Jesus. So 1 John 5:4 again says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. We've been looking at this in this particular teaching series. We've been looking at this verse from the Message Bible. And I'm going to read the Message Bible to you one more time. It says, every God begotten person conquers the world's ways. Jesus. The conquering power that brings the world to its knees is our faith. Glory to God. That's the Message Bible. And that's where we get our title from. Tapping into the power that brings the world to its knees from this Message translation of this verse, because the B part of that verse from the Message says, the conquering power that brings the world to its knees is our faith. Faith is the conquering power that brings the world to its knees. Faith is the conquering power that brings the world to its knees. Why is it that in some Christians' lives, you don't see the demonstration of this verse, the manifestation of this verse, the application of this verse, the activation of this verse? Why don't we see more Christians with a conquering attitude? Remember, I posed those questions when I started this teaching. Why is it? Well, that's why I started teaching you about how to develop happiness and believe in God. God asked me, Mark, have you ever seen a sad conqueror? I said, no, they happy. So he told me, Mark, be happy about believing me. Be happy about the faith process. Stop acting like things are going to be like they've always been. Stop acting like, oh, things are not turning in your favor. You're in faith, son. And I gave you my definition. We're not going back to that old teaching. You got to listen to those first three sessions, glory to God. And they are on the website, so you need to listen to those, re-listen to them, catch the revelation. We found out happiness is not a feeling. When we're talking about happiness, we're not talking about being giddy. No, happiness is a state of being. Glory to God. So you see this, and that's based upon, go here in this verse, go to Romans 15. Romans 15, blessed be God forever. Verse 13, real quick. Romans 15, verse 13 says from the King James, now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. He fills you with all joy and peace in believing. Well, man, when you look at some Christians and they call themselves, I'm in faith, man, they do not look like they have been filled with all joy and peace in believing. It's because they have not caught a revelation. They really don't understand what it takes to walk by faith and not by sight. Why are many Christians giving in to discouragement during this pandemic time that we've been facing this year? Because they haven't caught a revelation of 1 John 5:4. And this is the victory that overcometh the world. overcometh the world. That means it overcomes everything that could ever happen to you in this world, whether it's in your personal life, your family life, your financial life, your physical body, your business life, your ministry life. It doesn't make a difference. The thing about it with some Christians is they're like this, Pastor Mark, I will believe it when I see it. Well, you won't see it until you believe it. And I've taught you this before. Biblical believing is accepting something as real with no physical evidence. Biblical believing is accepting something as real with no physical evidence. Now, how is it that you're getting discouraged because you don't have physical evidence? You're wanting to see something. You're wanting to see different. You want to see different? Then believe different, Jesus. You want to see different? Believe different. Biblical believing is accepting something as real with no physical evidence. We don't get down in the dumps and discouraged because we're not seeing what we want to see. That's when we do what Romans 15, 13 talked about. We understand now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. I don't have no physical evidence yet, but I got all joy and peace because I'm right in the midst of the believing process. And then it goes on to say that you may abound in hope. How is it, man? You look at some Christians, they look hopeless. Because hope is intense. It's having intense, earnest expectation. And whatever you expect, you prepare for. They are simply preparing for things to be like they've always been. Because they say, look, and I told you, that's the devil's attack against you. He always uses that one word, look. Oh, you believe in God? Look. Oh, you think God moving for you? Look. Oh, you think the word of God coming to pass for you? Look. He always tells you to look. And we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by looking. Stop coming down to the devil's realm trying to believe God and come up to God's realm where believing God works. Jesus, glory to God. Calm down, boy. He's back. Hallelujah. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope. How? Through the power of the Holy Ghost. Did you know every time you're down in the dumps, you're resisting the Holy Ghost? I know it. See, Christians, man, Jesus, that Bible is real that you're reading, man. Every time you're in depression, every time you're in discouragement. Yes, listen, I'm talking to you. Every time you're in discouragement, you're there because you're resisting the power of the Holy Ghost instead of flowing and cooperating with the Holy Ghost. So the Passion's translation of Romans 15, 13 says, now may God, the inspiration and fountain of hope, fill you to overflowing with uncontainable joy. Glory to God. And perfect peace as you trust in him. Now, how in the world? How in God, as the old folks used to say, how in God's good green earth could I be down in the dumps and he's giving me uncontainable joy and perfect peace just because I'm believing him right now? So see, my brothers and sisters, man, I'm at this place, man. Don't come to me with using these excuses and saying, well, Pastor Mark, you just don't know. No, you don't know. You got to be delivered from yourself. You got to be delivered from your carnal position, because it's your carnality that's causing you to be outside of what the Holy Ghost is doing for you and to you. So it says, the Passion's translation of Romans 15, 13 again. I'm trying to get to where I want to go today. I'm nowhere near it. I'm just recapping, bringing y'all back to where we need to be for this lesson. Because those first three sessions was about getting you to understand and catch the revelation of how to be happy, how to tap into to the river of happiness in believing God. And now where I want to take you, glory to God, oh, Jesus, it's on a whole nother level. It's on a whole nother dimension where I'm taking you now. But this is just recap. The Passion's translation of Romans 15, 13 says, now may God, the inspiration and fountain of hope, fill you to overflowing with uncontainable joy and perfect peace as you trust in him. And may the power of the Holy Spirit continually surround your life with his superabundance until you radiate with hope. That's what I'm trying to get you to understand. God wants you radiating with hope. What's hope against? Intense, earnest expectation. He wants you radiating with it, beaming with it, filled up with it. It's spilling over. It's contagious. You're infected with it, infected by it. You're affected by it. You're causing effects with it. His superabundance. Maybe, let's stop right now. Maybe this is where some of you all are. I can't even go no further. Lift your hands right where you are and say, in the name of Jesus, Father, fill me with the power of the Holy Spirit, so that I'm aware of it continually. Now say, Holy Spirit, I want your superabundance to surround me until my life radiates with expectation. In Jesus' name. Now just bless him. Come on. Just bless him right there. Glory to God. Bless him right there. My Romashi Sunalabasi. Yeah. See, you got to understand your hearts. For example, if we're talking about from 1 John 5 and 4 from the Message translation, where it says the conquering power that brings the world to its knees is our faith. Well, if there is conquering power, then there is a conqueror. That's who God calls you to be. Come on, go with me, your Bible, to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Let's look at this. Glory to God. Bless the name of Jesus. Glory, glory, glory. Romans chapter 8. And let's look at verse 35. Romans 8, 35. You with me? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Now, translate, meditate, love of Christ. Christ is not Jesus' last name. Now, as long as I've been teaching you all this, now you know it. When you read this verse, you still don't translate and meditate it. Because when you read this verse, you still see Christ as Jesus' last name. Christ is not Jesus' last name. Christ is who Jesus was, what Jesus carried, what emitted from Jesus, what was on Jesus. Christ is who he was, the anointed one. And you can't talk about him as the anointed one without talking about the anointing he was anointed with. So he says here, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Now I want you to stop right now and ask yourself every day, are you living like you're connected to the love of Christ, or are you living like you're separated from it? What is the anointing? The burden removing, yoke destroying power of God. Every day, are you living like you're a burden, Or are you living like you're free of burdens? See, that determines whether or not you're connected to the love of Christ or you're separated from it. So nothing and no one can separate you, but you can disconnect yourself all because of your perspective. I want y'all to know I am nowhere in my notes today. I'm ministering to somebody today. He won't even allow me to continue my notes because you got to get this. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, okay? Can hard times do it? No. Then why are you complaining about hard times? Shall distress, can distressful situations do it? You know, when you're feeling so exasperated, pulled in all kind of direction, when you're under distress. He says, can distress do it? No. Then why are you giving in to distress? Or persecution. Can persecution do it? Oh, none of us like persecution. But did you know he said, for all who will live godly shall suffer persecution? But man, we don't want it. Well, here's one form of persecution: when people talking about you. Why are you going to get down because people talking about you? You somebody to talk about. Jesus, you're in Jesus. Jesus is in you. You're carrying the anointing of Jesus. You're walking by the Spirit of Jesus. You're living in the kingdom of Jesus. You have the inheritance of Jesus. You have the authority of Jesus. And you have the angels of Jesus serving you. You're somebody to talk about. Oh, that's right. You want everybody to like you. He never told you everybody was going to like you. Because the more you grow in the things of God, your life becomes an intimidation to other people. You know, some Christians, preachers too, they'll look at you and say, why are you looking happy? Hey, there's nothing to be happy about. They don't believe the Bible, man. They want you to feel what they feel. They want you to have a sour look like they got on their face. They want you to go through like they going through. They in pain, they want you to be in pain. You just don't feel what I'm feeling. Deliver us, Jesus. Help us today. Tribulation cannot separate you. Distress can't separate you. Persecution can't separate you. Look at this. Or famine. It can't separate you from the love of Christ. Oh, that's right. I hear you, Lord. Many of you still think that the love of Christ is a feeling. I told you this. The world's perspective have brought love down to a feeling. It has brought happiness down to a feeling. It has brought the Holy Ghost down to a feeling. No. It has brought faith down to a feeling. Oh, if you're feeling good, you really believing. No, it don't make a difference how I feel. How many of y'all, since you've been saved, how many times have you woke up on a day and you didn't feel saved? If that's you, put your hand up. I'll put both hands up and both feet up. Man, there are times you don't feel saved. That ain't got nothing to do with it. He didn't say you're saved because you feel saved. He said you're saved because you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You believe that God the Father sent Jesus for you. You believe that Jesus went to the cross for you. You believe that Jesus died on that cross for you. You believe that Jesus, glory to God, went to hell for you. You believe that he died and was buried 3 days. And on the third day, Jesus, he got up just for you. You believe that he ascended to heaven, glory to God, went to the whole heavenly mercy seat and placed his blood there just for you. You believe Jesus right now is sitting on the right hand of the Father and he's positioning you. That's why you're saved has nothing to do with your feelings. You know, sometimes husbands don't feel married, but homeboy, you still married. You better check yourself before you wreck yourself. You still married. Sometimes some women, they don't feel married. No, if you're married, you're married. That don't give you a license to go looking at somebody else all because my husband not doing what I want to do, or my husband not making me happy, or come on. No. The feelings don't dictate to you. So the world has brought love down to a feeling. So when you read this verse, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? You're thinking about feeling loved by Christ. That is not what that verse is talking about. It's not talking about you feeling loved by Jesus. Oh, and so we sang the children's song that we learned. You see, it's still in us. Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. What's the rest of it? Y'all know the rest of it?
Little one, to him belong.
Come on, girl.
They are weak. We are weak. He is strong.
And so what we do is we hold on to that. Jesus loves me. This I know. So we're looking for a feeling. But this love of Christ is not about a feeling. This is an activation. Put it down in your notes. The love of Christ is about a divine activation. See, you got to know this. If you're going to tap into the power that brings the world to its knees, and y'all, I'm telling you, none of this is in my notes. He's just pulling this from my heart. This is an activation because the love of Christ is a commitment to the anointing of Christ. That's what the love of Christ is. It's where God commits his anointing to you. Say, I'm anointed. I am anointed. Yes, you are anointed. He commits it to you. So now if he commits his anointing to me, look at verse 35 again. Tribulation does not separate me from the anointing. Distress does not separate me from the anointing. Persecution does not separate me from the anointing. Famine doesn't separate me from the anointing. Nakedness doesn't separate me from the anointing. Peril doesn't separate me from the anointing. And sword doesn't separate me from the anointing. Verse 36 says, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. So now what did the Apostle Paul do? He took this verse out of Psalms 44, verse 22. That's where this verse come from that he wrote here in verse 36. He took it out of context to prove his point. He said, now, is this how we're supposed to act? Are we supposed to act like sheep who are being set up to be killed for the slaughter? He's taking it out of context to show you who you are, to show the body of Christ who they are. He says, as it is written, for thy sake, we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. And look at verse 37. The very first word he says is, nay, no, that's not our place, nor our position, nor our perspective, nor our attitude. We got to tap into the power that brings the world to its knees. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. That's who we are. 1 John 5:5 says, and who is he that overcomes the world? But he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. Somebody shout, that's me. Glory to God. That's me. That's me. That's me. Well, he says, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. We are more than conquerors. So you got to make up in your mind right now, dear hearts, that you will no longer see yourself disconnected from the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Somebody say, thank God for the anointing. Yes. Nothing can separate you from the love of Christ. That's not a feeling. That's not a feeling. That's a divine activation. And you have to understand, glory to God, that he has anointed you. Now here we go again. So some church folk, they brought the anointing down to a feeling. It's not a feeling. I don't need a chill. I'm not waiting on a goosebump. I'm not waiting on a shiver. nor jerk. Glory to God. I'm anointed because the Bible says he anointed me. Glory to Jesus. Hallelujah. Let me show you. 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 Blessed be God. Look at this. Go with me. Keep a mark at Romans 8. I'm not done. I just have to use this morning just to teach my intro. This is all intro. I ain't get nowhere. I'm not even on the half of the first page. Glory to God. Somebody needed to hear this. I know it wasn't you, but it was your neighbor. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I believe it is. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm just flowing. Somebody say, flow, Pastor Mark, flow. I'm just flowing. Jesus. Somebody shout, I'm anointed. Glory to God. Yes, you are. Hallelujah. You are anointed. All right. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Help me, Holy Ghost, quickly. We got to get it across. Time, keep on slipping. Oh, come back, boy. All right. 2 Corinthians. I'm in rare form this morning. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus. Come on, take a moment and just pray in the Holy Ghost right where you are. Come on, pray. Let's pray. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. All right. 2 Corinthians. I'm trying to find this, y'all. I got so many scriptures underlined, it's throwing me off. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'll read this part. Look at verse 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. Jesus. Okay. Paul writes, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead. Who are you supposed to trust in? In God, who raiseth the dead. Who are you supposed to trust in? Okay, now, should there be some evidence that you're trusting in God who raises the dead? Let me help you. If he raises the dead, then can't he also turn bad situations around? So now you should be trusted in the God who specializes in turnarounds. Write that down. I trust in the God who specializes in turnaround. I trust the God who specializes in turnaround. Yeah. See, I trust the God who raises the dead. That means he not only raised the physical dead, he also raises dead situations in my life. See, this is how I can tap into the power that brings the world to his knees. I got to make sure I know who I'm trusting in. Jesus. So it says, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves that we should not trust in ourselves. Stop trusting in yourselves. Well, what else do we got to do? Well, what else we got to do? Stop trusting in yourselves and trust in God. But in God, which raises the dead, verse 10, who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver. So now here, write this down. I trust in the God who still delivers today. Jesus. I trust in the God who still delivers today. You may not be an alcoholic. He can deliver an alcoholic. But he also can deliver you from depression and discouragement. He can also deliver you from despair. He can also deliver you from having down days. He can also deliver you. Are you listening to me? When you're going through your funk, when you're going through those, he can deliver you. I trust the God who still delivers today. Instead of you continuing to feel that way, you need to receive deliverance from the God you trust in, who still delivers today. Who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Shout, I'm delivered. Now say, I'm anointed and I'm delivered. I'm anointed and I'm delivered. Now let's make three. Say, I'm anointed, I'm delivered, and I'm happy. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. All right, go back to Romans 8. We're going to end. We're going to end right here at Romans 8. Blessed be God forever. So nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. This is divine activation. This commitment, glory to God, of God committing to anoint us. Paul said it like this in Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, translate and meditate, the gospel of the anointed one and his anointing. For it is the power of God. What is the power of God? The gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For wherein, in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just, say that's me, shall live by faith. All right. In closing today, we're looking at that in order to conquer the world and bring it to his knees, you got to conquer the world's ways. That's why I deal with you about happiness. Dear heart, you're going to have to choose to be happy. That's not based on a feeling. It's a state of being that you choose to operate in. Okay? Paul said, I think myself happy. And here, you're going to have to understand that nothing can separate you from the love of Christ, this divine activation. This is not a feeling. So we must conquer the world's ways. And in order to conquer the world's ways, it's going to require us to stop living by the world's definitions of life, the world's definition of happiness, the world's definition of victory, the world's definition of prosperity, and the world's definition of possibility. One more time. I'm ending with this. Glory to God. Somebody hijacked my message today. Glory to God. It was waiting on Pastor Mark to come back. We must conquer the world's ways. And in order to conquer the world's ways, it will require us to stop living by the world's definition of life, the world's definition of happiness, the world's definition of victory, the world's definition of prosperity, the world's definition of possibilities. Get that? Jesus. So, one more time. Hallelujah, and I'll pray for you. We must conquer the world's ways. If we're going to conquer the world and bring the world to its knees by tapping into the power of faith, we got to conquer the world's ways. And that starts with that it requires us to stop living. Say, stop living. Stop living by the world's definitions of life, the world's definition of happiness, the world's definition of victory, the world's definition of prosperity, and the world's definition of possibility. Let me pray for you. Father, I thank you now for your people. Lord, every last one of them on this call, I claim as blood-bought possessions of Jesus Christ. Wherever the adversary is trying to cause division, distraction, deception, discouragement, depression or despair. I assign angels to assist that child of God to overcome and push through. I plead the blood of Jesus over that child of God. I plead the blood over their mind, their will, their emotions, their memory, and their imagination. I draw a bloodline around their house and household. And I make a demand on the word of God that's on the inside of them now in Jesus' name. Be quickened, come alive, and be awakened to the breakthrough that God has destined and reserved just for you. In Jesus' name, I give you praise, Lord. And all God's people say amen. Praise the name of Jesus. Praise the name.
We truly hope you enjoyed this teaching by Pastor Mark Roberson of Faith Word Fellowship. Please visit us at one of our two locations. If you're in Buffalo, New York, or surrounding areas, please visit us at Faith Word Fellowship International. And if you're in the St. Catharines, Ontario, or surrounding areas, please visit us at Faith Word Fellowship Canada. To learn more about Faith Word Fellowship, or to contact Pastor Mark, or to even access other teachings by Pastor Mark, please visit us at www.faithwordfellowship.org. And always remember, one word from God and you will never be the same again.